Hallelujah. Well, how many of you got your Bibles with you this morning? Hold them up, shake them around, make the devil mad. Hallelujah. Listen, that word is life unto all who find it. Amen. That's what Jesus said, it's spirit and it is life. Well, turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to talk about the advancing kingdom of God this morning. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not sedentary. The kingdom of God is not passive. Are you listening to me? If you are born again and you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, then I want to tell you something. You're going to have to get in motion. You're going to have to get moving. Because the Bible, everywhere you look at all of it, it talks about, you know, about walking by faith, running by faith. The kingdom of God is what? Is advancing. It's always advancing. That's why if you as a believer, you are born again, and you sit down, spiritually speaking, you sit down once you're in the kingdom, that's why you're going to feel like you're dry. You're going to feel like, there's not much going on. You're going to get bored with your faith. You're going to get bored with it. Why? Because it's moving on.
That's exactly right.
You know, I wouldn't want a car that didn't have a motor in it. How about you? Just wouldn't want one. I don't care. It might have a nice stereo in it. It might have beautiful leather seats. It might have wood grain on that. But I'm tell you what. Ultimately, the bottom line of having an automobile is what? To move. Isn't that right? You want to move. You want to go somewhere. So same thing with the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Let's read here just as a way of introduction here in Joshua chapter 1. Let's just pick it up in verse 1. We'll read several verses here. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. You know what God's saying to the church today? Get ready. Get ready. Notice he didn't say, now, build you a tabernacle here in Sudan. He said, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. The kingdom of God, what? Advances. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people, you've taken some ground up until now. But you know what? Sometimes we stop in our walk with God. And there is more ground to be taken. Now, how many of you have a favorite movie? Okay, well, how about the rest of you holy people? Okay. Our favorite book, besides the Bible, I mean. I know, because the illustration, because the illustration I'm going to get. Well, you know, if you got a favorite movie, and you sit down and watch that thing 100 times straight through, it might not be your favorite movie after that. Isn't that true? Why? Because probably somewhere around that 75th time, at least, man, I'm telling you, it's going to get kind of old, isn't it? Because what? That's the way things are. And see, God made us to keep moving, to keep growing, even in the kingdom of God. The Bible says over in Ephesians that throughout all eternity, some people, you know, I've had people ask me this, well, we got all eternity, aren't we going to get bored? No, because throughout all eternity, the Bible says God is going to be revealing himself to us. There's going to be new revelations, new understandings, new manifestations, new vistas that God's going to open up concerning himself. And it's going to take all eternity. The reason God's got to take eternity because he's so big. He's so transcendent. It's going to take all of eternity because it's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. We're going to be moving forward in the things of God and our understanding of him. So he said, everywhere you set your foot, as I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite countries, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Wow. It's one thing for God to say, get ready, and then go and possess the land. But then when he also says this, nobody is going to be able to stand against you. Nobody's going to be able to defeat you. I might get it in motion then, man. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now notice, be strong and courageous. because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, God gave the entire promised land to Joshua and Israel, did he not? He said, all this land before you, you're about to enter it. You're going to cross Jordan. You're going to go into this land called the promised land. He said, I've given all of it to you. But now notice, it was not automatic. This is where we miss it sometimes in the kingdom. Just like with Joshua and the Israelites, God says, I have given it to you, past tense. But he also said, you're going to have to go possess it. You're going to have to cross over and go in. So just because the promised land, the promises of God have been given to us, it's not automatic. In other words, he said, it's not going to happen just because you show up. Hello? A lot of Christians think, if I just show up on Sundays, if I just show up on Wednesdays, and listen, that can be an important part to your spiritual growth. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not automatic. It wasn't just because they got up that morning and came out their tent and put strapped on their armor. He said, you're going to have to do something. So here's the thing. He told them, you will have to exercise the authority that comes with the promise. There was a promise given to them. There have been promises given to us. The Bible says there are exceeding great and precious promises been given to us that by them we might be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen to you and I, but they're not automatic. With every promise that God has given us, there comes an authority with it that if we act on the promise, if we will exercise our faith and get in motion, there is an authority that comes with that promise that enables us to possess it. But if we just sit back and say, well, you know, whatever God wants me to have, I'll have. He's already given you and told you what he wants you to have. But just like he told Joshua and the Israelites here, he said, you're going to have a part to play in this. Remember, we're talking about the advancing kingdom. Now, you know what? God says, he said, to the degree, Israel, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, to the degree that you advance and confront the enemies in this land, to that degree, I will drive them out before you. And when Israel stopped, that's when God stopped. Are you listening? And see, the same thing is true with us, even under the new covenant. Yes, we're born again. We're children of God by grace. But then the Bible encourages us, what? Because we're in a kingdom that is advancing, we are to grow. We are to possess the land as well. But here's the thing. As much as we are willing to move forward in our faith and grow in the knowledge of God and be obedient to God and advance in the things of God, to that degree, God also will drive things out of our life. God will allow you to keep in your life anything you decide to keep. I wish that were not true. Just speaking as a human. I wish God would just drive it all out. But this is the way he set it up. But remember this, with every promise God's given to you in this book, there is an authority that comes with it. There is an authority to exercise. So to exercise the authority meant what? A confrontation had to take place. Isn't that right? For them to exercise the authority, God says, I promised you, for them to have that promise, they had to exercise the authority. And as they exercise their authority, guess what? Confrontation. Confrontation. You know, we live in a day and age where confrontation is not looked upon very well, is it? It's misunderstood. Oh, we don't. If you confront, you must be intolerant. Because that's not, you know, we just don't confront. That's not nice. Well, I want to tell you what. There are some things that you better confront. There are some things in our lives that we need to confront, or things that will come against our life that we need to confront. And if we don't confront them, then they will possess our land rather than God possessing our land. Turn to Matthew 11. You might want to mark your place there in Joshua. We'll come back to it. Matthew 11. You know this scripture. Matthew 11, 12. I want to read it to you from the Amplified, though. Remember, he told them, everywhere you put your foot. 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Wow. Now that sounds like some confrontation is going to take place. Isn't that right? So everywhere you put your foot of faith, it will be yours. He says here that we're talking about the advancing kingdom. And here's the thing. If you're going to get into the kingdom and you're going to see the full potential of God in your life, if you're going to grow up into the image of Him, if you're going to move into that place and purpose and destiny God has for you as a part of the body of Christ and His kingdom, then you are going to have to do exactly what it said here. You are going to have to get violent about confronting some things. Amen? Because your enemy, Satan and all his kingdom, they will not respond to a passive Christian. Come on. He says, be forceful. The word forceful means just what you think it would mean, full of force. Vigor, acting, or driven with force. We cannot advance without forceful action. You know, it's a shame because too much of the time in the history of the church as a whole, I'm speaking, we have been taught that, you know, wrong concepts about things. For example, the concept of meekness. Well, here's Jesus, gentle, meek, and mild. And I need to be gentle, meek, and mild myself. Have you ever seen anybody gentle, meek, and mild confront anything? Oh, no. They're like, oh, well, okay. Well, yeah, okay. If you can do that to me. You can do whatever you want to. You can just run over me. It's okay. I don't mind. It's okay. You know, and here's the thing. We get that mixed up. When Jesus said to be meek and mild and gentle, he was talking about our relationship to one another in the body of Christ, not our relationship to the God of this world. Are you listening? Yes, I can be gentle, meek, and mild when it comes to you. Be forgiving, long-suffering. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? But when it comes to the enemy, when it comes to sickness and disease, when it comes to those things that are the kingdom of darkness, he said it's going to take force. And you know, it's an interesting thing. Jesus knew how to be both. He could be just as gentle as a lamb. But when it was time to be forceful, he knew how to do it, didn't he? He knew how to put that devil to flight. And so here's the thing. We've got to understand in our relationship to one another in the body of Christ, to people, yes, we are gentle. We are forgiving. We are long-suffering. We do exercise the love of God. But when it comes to the kingdom of darkness and the devil, I'm telling you, he said, you got to be forceful because that's the only thing he understands. There's got to be a confrontation, amen? Because the enemy will not respond to passive activity. James 4, 7, he said, submit yourself to God and what? Resist the devil. Resist him. It didn't say give in to him. It didn't say lay down and let him run over you. It said resist him. So confrontation must take place in order to advance. Would you agree with that? And so the first there's two areas we're going to look at real quickly where confrontation has to take place. The first is with ourselves. See, now we like it when we talk about the devil, don't we? Confrontation has to take place with ourselves. Notice what he told Joshua. He said, be courageous, or in other words, be full of courage. The first thing I have to confront in myself is the fears that would try to hold me back from possessing the land. Don't you think when the Israelites went across Jordan, then they got across there, the first city they came against was a big walled city of Jericho? Whew, man, God, what didn't you break us in gradually here? Haven't we just, you know, got one of these small towns, you know? It's got one of those, you know, those stick walls up, you know? But the first thing God did was bring them right against one of the greatest cities in the whole land. It was powerful. They had a powerful army. They were in a great position. They were in a position of strength behind those walls. But God brought them right away. And one of the reasons is to deal with their fears. Because, listen, their forebears for 40 years never dealt with their fears, and so they never possessed the land. Come on. For 40 years they were afraid God couldn't meet their needs. God had misled them. God had brought them out there to die. God couldn't take them in because there were giants in the land. They never dealt with their fears, so they never advanced to the promised land. And so one of the first things God told Joshua there, told him about three or four times there, I believe, three times, he said, be courageous. And listen, as a believer, we have got to confront our fears. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, Pastor, I don't have any fears. Well, we'll give an altar call for lying right after the service. See, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is something God will rise up within you that will enable you to overcome, confront, and overcome your fears. You better know they had some fear. This was a generation that did not know war. They hadn't fought a battle yet. They hadn't been battle tested. They weren't veterans. This was a brand new generation. They didn't know anything about battle. And he's telling, you know, he told Joshua, he said, be strong. So the first thing we got to confront is the fears in our life. What are the fears that's holding you back? Fear of failure? I'm the only one that's ever had that. You better know it. As soon as you step out on the promise of God, as soon as you endeavor to fulfill the plan and purpose of God for your life, you think, man, one of the first fears that's going to come against you is the fear of failure. You know the old what if? Anybody heard the what if fear? What if? Fill in the blank. Just depends on where you're at. What if you get up and you fall on your face? What if you get up and you pray for this person and God don't heal them? What if you start this business and you say God told you to do and then you don't make it? Or what if this? Or what if that? What if this sickness gets you? What if you're defeated? You know, everybody's got the what ifs, don't you? And he said the first thing we've got to confront by the promise of God is our fears. And he told, and notice, he commanded Joshua. He said, be courageous. Now, if God commands us to do something, you know what? We can do it. I can be courageous. I didn't say it was easy. But I said, we can be courageous. And you know, courage enables you to what? Act against your fear. And if you will act against your fear based on the promise that God's given you, then you know what? Courage will rise up in you. Are you listening to me? Courage will rise up in you. The courage will rise up in you. And you know what? You'll find out that not only did God give you the promise, but there's authority in that promise. Amen. As soon as you act against your fear and you act on the promise, all of a sudden God's power goes into effect. Wham! Goes down the walls. Amen. Oh, yeah. In Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, he said, do not be, God told Israel, he said, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified. Now, we live in a day, we probably understand this a little bit better than maybe in our nation than some previous generations because of 9/11. We're very much aware of terror and terrorists and what they endeavor to do. What does a terrorist endeavor to do? They want to terrorize, but they want to fill you with fear that immobilizes, that paralyzes. That tells you, you better watch out. You better not even try anything. You better be careful. Isn't that true? And so here's the thing. But you know what? They were not the original terrorists. Satan, the god of this world, in his kingdom, is the original terrorist. And he wants to come against you and tell you he's going to take you down. He's going to kill you. He's going to destroy your marriage, your kids, whatever it may be. You're never going to make it. This is it. You've had it now, buddy. This is it. What is he trying to do? fill you with terror. Because he knows what? If he can terrorize you, he can paralyze you. If he can paralyze you, he can keep you from acting. If he can keep you from acting, he can keep the authority that's in the promise of God from going into motion. Because once that goes into motion, that's God's authority and God's promise and God's power. And he knows he can't withstand it. But if he can lock you up in fear and in terror, to where you won't even attempt it, where you won't even do it, where you won't even try to obtain the promise God's given, you won't advance in the kingdom of God. You know what? God may have something new for you. Hello? You know, something new is great, but it's not always easy. Is it, Mitch and Paulette? Boy, you try to go do something new, and especially if it's kingdom related, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have opposition. Didn't they have opposition? That's why God told them, he said, the first thing you got to confront is yourself. Who's it, FDR? He made a profound spiritual statement. There's nothing to fear. You know this. But I tell you what, that's an absolute true statement, isn't it? He said, don't be discouraged. The word discouraged just simply means what you think, to diminish in courage. Discouraged. You ever been discouraged? I have. This is why the Bible tells us we're to what? Encourage one another daily. Isn't that right? We encourage one another. Listen, brother, God's with you. God's hands on you. You can do it. The promise of God is true. God will do it for you. He's done it for me. He'll do it for you. He did it for Moses. He'll do it for you. Amen? God loves you. God's with you. You're going to make it. We're with you. We're praying. We're believing with you. It's going to be all right. Be encouraged. Isn't that true? Remember, I want to repeat this. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it is what pushes us to confront and overcome our fears. So the first thing, if you're going to advance, the kingdom of God's going to advance in your life, you got to face it. Face up to your fears, whatever it is. Whether it's fear of failure, fear of disease, fear of sickness, fear of whatever. Amen. Face up to it. Because fear limits. It limits you. In the natural, it'll limit you in the spiritual. It limits the new vistas God has to open up for you. It limits what God really has called you to do. I believe this with all my heart. Two things. Number one, that all of us in the natural are nothing without Him. Number two, with Him, we can do so much more than most of us are doing. Isn't that true? And so I think what happens is we look at ourselves outside of Him too much. And it begins to influence us even though we're in Him now. We need to look more at the fact that we are in Him and He is in us than we are to look at the fact of what we are without Him. Now, I believe personally there is that balance that we need to remember. Without Him, Jesus said, without me you can do what? But we also need to focus on the fact that now that He's with us, I can do all things. So I believe that God has so much more for us to do. So much more, many ways for us to be effective and productive in our lives, both spiritually and naturally. But what happens is we don't confront our fears. And you know, maybe your experience has been like mine. You ever had a fear that maybe that kind of kept you paralyzed and finally you just said, well, bless God, here we go. Here I go, Lord. Sink or swim. And you just act against that fear. And all of a sudden you find out, boy, that fear wasn't nearly as big as you thought it was. That thing wasn't nearly as big a deal as I thought it was. Because what? The terror and the fear and the words of the enemy built this thing up really big. But as soon as I acted on the promise in the authority of that promise, in the authority of God, it came down to its true size. Amen? You know, a small object, you know, can cast a long shadow, can it? And you know how the enemy is. He's always wanting you to look at the shadow, look at the shadow. And you look at that. Wow. Boy, that must be big. God says, stop looking at the shadow. Look at this thing. About this big. Especially when God's in the backdrop. Isn't that right? The second thing we got to confront if we're going to advance the kingdom of God in our life is we've got to confront the enemy. We've got to confront the enemy. That means I've got to recognize when the enemy's coming against me or at work in my life, when there's a stronghold in my life. Isn't that true? The Bible says that God's word is light. And he said, you know, when his light, the entrance of his word brings light, when light shines, what does it do? It reveals, doesn't it? And the revelation of areas in my life where the enemy has come in, not only in the area of fear we talked about, but, you know, the enemy wants to squeeze and to squeeze and to squeeze and to squeeze you into the smallest possible posture. To the least amount of faith, the least amount of courage, the least amount of peace, the least amount of love, the least amount of faith. I mean, he wants to squeeze you just as much as you can. You know, Cindy and I were on the mission field in Bolivia, and we used to take teams into the Amazon basin, and they had the constrictors there, you know, the boas and all. And, you know, pretty big snakes. Some of them got pretty big. But, you know, the danger was not them biting you, although they had a big mouth, and, you know, they can dislocate their jaw. And if they're big enough, you know, they can swallow a pig. Swallow, you know, a dog. But the danger wasn't them biting you. You know what the danger was what? They would wrap themselves around you. And here's the way it does. They would constrict and constrict and constrict, and the creature, whatever they were constricting on, would have to take a breath. And as soon as they did that, they tightened up. So that the next time they tried to breathe, they couldn't get much air in. And then when they let that out, it'd constrict some more. And finally, you know, it did just suffocate. And, you know, that's the way the enemy tries to work in our life. He comes in and he gets a hold and he begins to wrap himself around us. And if we don't resist the enemy, if we don't recognize and confront it, he will begin to constrict us. And we find it hard to get our spiritual breath. We find it hard, it gets harder and harder to resist him. And so here's the thing. We need to recognize, where is the enemy trying to limit me? What has God said concerning to possess the land? Did God tell Joshua, go in, and if you're lucky, maybe you'll get a city or two? And yet, many times, we as Christians, we are so content with the minimum rather than the maximum. We've been conditioned by the constricting forces of the enemy in our life. He said, that's as deep a breath as you can take. That's all that God wants you to have. You're never going to go any further. You can never overcome this. You can never move forward. God will never use you. You kidding me? You? Have you looked at you lately? He doesn't talk to you all that way, does he? Man, I'm telling you. Sometimes I think they're all at my house. So y'all ain't got any problem at all, right? Y'all, you know I'm just kidding. But, you know, he tries to constrict us, doesn't he? He tries to do, and he'll say, see there. But you know what? We need to remember, man, I'm telling you what, that God can come into your situation. And he can breathe some life, just like he breathed into Adam, man. He can breathe, the Holy Ghost can breathe back into your spirit. Bam, you break off those bands. Because he said the anointing will break the yoke. What's the yoke? That constricting power. He said it'll break it off of your life. And so we need to recognize when the enemy comes against us. Listen, he will do anything he can. Strife, division, unforgiveness. He will attack your finances. He will attack relationships. He will attack you at work. He will do everything he can. Why? Because he wants to constrict you. But what you've got to do is you've got to learn to rise up, just like we read there in the Amplified out of John's Gospel. You got to be violent. I'm telling you what. You see one of them big snakes, if you were going down one of the rivers or tributaries there, the Amazon in the basin, and that thing dropped on you, what would you do? Would you just lay down and say, okay, this is it? Buddy, there would be some arms and legs flailing, wouldn't it? I don't know what the result would be, but I'm telling you, it wouldn't be because it was lack of effort. I'd be getting that thing out of the boat, me or him one. Isn't that right? But yet so many times the enemy comes in And he creeps in and he creeps in, and we don't recognize him and we don't resist him as we ought to. And then all of a sudden he gets a strong hold and it's harder to get rid of him. You know the scripture in John 10:10. But we need to remind ourselves. Jesus said the enemy comes, but for to what? Steal, kill, destroy, right? So if you look at your life, if whatever is in your life, if it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, guess what? It ain't God. That's something we should resist immediately. Are you listening to me? Resist immediately, violently. How do you do that? In prayer, with the Word of God. You put the Word of God in your mouth. You begin to speak it. You speak it against that devil. You speak it against your circumstance. You declare God's promise. You get violent with it. Don't lay down. I guess it's just what God wanted me to have. No, I'm telling you, God's told you what He wants you to have, but you've got to confront it. And if you don't confront it, then that thing is going to get a hold of you, and I mean but good. Are you listening? Turn over to 2 Chronicles real quickly. I got a few more minutes here. Man, I'm doing good today. I'm talking faster. Y'all listening faster. I'm not sure which it is. 2 Chronicles. Are you getting anything out of this? 2 Chronicles. Chapter 11. We're going to begin reading. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles. Excuse me. 1 Chronicles 11. My bad. Thank you for keeping me on my toes. Back up to verse 4. David and all the Israelites marched to Jerusalem, that is Jebus. The Jebusites who lived there said to David, "You will not get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. I want to stop there a minute. Now, this city, Jebus, was there when Joshua and the Israelites went in. And from the time that Joshua and the Israelites, that generation, went in to the promised land, it was, until the time of David, was right at roughly 400 years, give or take a few years there. 400 years. For 400 years, Israel lived with this stronghold of Jebus and the Jebusites who did not serve God, who did not love God. They were a sore spot, a blight. God told Joshua, he said, anybody you don't drive out, he said they were going to become a thorn in your side. You know, we got a lot of things that we've allowed the enemy to bring into our lives. You know what? They're thorns in our sides. Pricks in our eyes. They're a weight. They're holding us back in the race. They're holding us back in our advancement in Christian life and in fulfilling God's plan and purpose and advancing the kingdom of God. And so notice here, 400 years later, 400 years later, finally somebody said, you know what? We're going to take this place. I'm tired of this place. I guess, they got this city here. I guess, for 400 years, everybody just rode around it and just, that's not really there. It's not really there. Bless God. God give us the land. It's not there. I don't see it. Do you see it? No, I don't see it. And sometimes, though, we laugh about that. That's the way we do things in our life. Rather than confront it, we just ignore it. We learn to cope. We learn to live with it. Hey, it's been there. My grandpappy went around this city. We've always gone around this city. It ain't no big deal. It's not that big a deal. Come on. It was a big deal to David. Verse 6, it says, David said, whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites will become commander-in-chief. Listen, you want promotion? I said, you want promotion? Oh, there must not be nobody here that does. Look at the principle here. David said, whoever will confront this thing that God's already given you the promise, if you confront it, that He's going to give you the victory over it. But if you'll anybody in here will do it, he said, I'm going to promote you. You're going to be head of my army. Bless God, what a sweet deal. God's already given you the promise. He said, if you'll do it, if you'll be courageous, if you'll confront them, he said, they won't be able to stand before you. Isn't that what we read? So here this guy, man, he said, hey, this is a sweet deal. And I want to tell you something. You want to see God promote you in the kingdom of God? You start confronting some things. You'll be amazed by how God will use you. You'll go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Didn't Jesus say this? He who is faithful with a little, he said, I'll make you ruler over much. You want to get promotion in your life? You want to see God use you in a greater fashion? Now, I want to tell you what. Start confronting some Jabuses. Strongholds. Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first. So he received the command. Hey, you know what? Remember, somebody else got a promotion this way too, don't you? Remember who that was? David. Remember what Saul said? Whoever goes out against this giant? I'll bet you sitting around in, you know, when they were in the place of the cave. Remember when David was in the cave? Part of his life? You ever felt like you were in the cave? That's another message. But I guarantee you, in the cave, you know, he started telling that story. Man, when Goliath went out, and the king said, whoever goes out and slays him, man's going to become the king's son-in-law. Promotion. He said, you're going to be tax-free. Woo! I know I got your attention then, didn't I? That's what he said. You read it over there. So he probably heard David say that, so he knew the promise of God. Just like David told him, he said, man, what a deal. God already promised me that you know, no enemy will be able to stand before me. I'm in covenant relationship. All I got to do is go out against this giant. God's going to do the rest. If I can just overcome my fear, if I can just rise up and stir up some courage and say, you know what? Bless God, God's already said he's going to give me your head. I'm going to act against this thing. I'm not going to let this thing stay here. And so this guy, Joab, he said, bless God, work for David. So he went after it. Come on. David then took up residence in the fortress, and so it was called the City of David, or Jerusalem. He built up the city around it, from the supporting terraces to the surrounding wall, while Joab restored the rest of the city. And David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him. Notice this, progression. After David confronted that stronghold of Jabus and overcome it, it said he became more powerful. You want to become more powerful as a believer? You start confronting some things in your life. You start confronting the enemy. You start going against some of the Jabuses that the enemy has set up around you. And you start getting some victories because God's already given it. And I'm telling you what, you're going to start walking in a new anointing and a new authority. And you're going to see that you're going to get stronger just like David did. See, we're talking about advancing. But if you just get passive, well, I guess God put that Jabus there to teach us something. You know, we all got our Jabuses. God just going to keep us humble. I don't want no promotion. Can I have yours? Listen. See, some people say, oh, that sounds like pride. No, listen. I want to be fruitful for the kingdom. And unless God does something new in my life, how can I be more fruitful? I'm doing all I know to do now, aren't you? Well, bless God, the only way I'm going to do more is if He increases me. And the only way I'm going to increase is if I advance in the kingdom. And the only way I'm going to advance in the kingdom if I grab hold of the truth here and I begin to confront some things. Hebrews, turn over there real quick. My time's almost up. It's basic, but it's kingdom. Amen. Hebrews 10. Read your scripture here. Verse 38. He said, but my righteous one will live by faith. He's talking about you. Say, he's talking about me. That's right. But if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. God doesn't want you to shrink. God wants you to increase. God wants you to enlarge. God wants you to advance in the kingdom. Because as you advance, you know what? You become more fruitful. You become an instrument that He can use in a greater measure to help more people, to lift more people, to advance the kingdom of God, to produce more fruit. Wouldn't that be a good thing? You know, the religious people might get upset a little bit and think you're not being humble. But God will like it. I said, God will like it. Isn't that right? People say, you say, well, what in the world makes you think God would use you? I said, well, why not me? I'm at least willing. I might trip over my feet 50 times a day, but bless God, I'm in motion. I'm out in it. I might get a bloody nose every now and then, but bless God, I'm throwing some haymakers. I'm doing something. Isn't that right? I've got some courage worked up here. I haven't arrived, but I'm working at it, and I want more. Don't you? One more scripture here before we close. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Confrontation. Get ready for it. Amen. 5, 7. You know this scripture. For we live by faith and not by sight. What God has given us, we must go obtain. Isn't that true? Do you know that's true for the sinner as well as the saint? Isn't that right? You got to hear the gospel message, and then you got to make a decision. There came a day when I had to make a decision. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? What about this message, this book called the Bible? What am I going to do with that? I mean, they're saying he's the Son of God. Well, you know, I was in college. They said, you know, well, you know, this guy, you know, he was, Buddha was, or this guy was, or, you know, this ism, schism, spasm. You know, they taught us about them all, you know. So, you know, at some point I had to make a decision. Same thing with you as a believer now. You got to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I just going to play the religious game where I show up, and then I get discouraged because I don't understand. I'm showing up. I'm showing up. Why? Well, I even put some money in the offering plate. And we appreciate that. But, you know, that alone won't do it. Right. You got to what? He said the kingdom is advanced forcibly. Yes. And every one of us in this room, God has more for us. So that he can do more through us. For others. Amen. And so if you don't really care about doing it for yourself, do it for others. Do it so that you remember over there in 2 Timothy, he said, in a great house are all kinds of vessels, earthen vessels, silver vessels, gold vessels, and so forth. Listen. Let us, he said, if you will cleanse yourself, if you will confront, if you will deal with issues, you know what? He said, you can be a vessel that is prepared for the master's use. I can't think of a more noble life. Doesn't matter what you do. I'm not talking about everybody becoming, you know, what we call a preacher full time. But I'm telling you, everybody, wherever you are, what a noble use of your life. Listen, I'm not passionate for God because God called me. I'd be passionate, whatever. If I was a baker, Indian chief, whatever, I'd still be the same way. Advancing, hungry this morning. So I'm gonna do two things here for our altar call. Would you bow your heads just for a minute? The first one I'm gonna do is gonna deal with people. Maybe you're here and you've never really received Jesus as your Savior. Oh, maybe you've heard the gospel. You know about it and everything, but you've never made a real decision where you said, you know what? I'm gonna turn from my own way, and I'm going to turn to Jesus. I'm going to place my faith in Him on purpose, believing that He is the Son of God, believing that He bore my sins, believing that He was raised up, and by faith in Him, my sins will be forgiven. I will be a child of God. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. Would you just put your hand up and then put it back down? Anybody in the building? While I'm looking, I don't see any hands. Okay, I see one. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you, back there, would you put your hand back up? I want to pray for you, okay? Sweetie, thank you. Would you be embarrassed to come up here and let me pray with you? Come on up here. I don't want to embarrass you by any means. I just want to pray with you. I appreciate your honesty. Amen. Hey, sweetie. God bless you. What's your name?
Kristen.
Right. Praise God. Kristen. God loves you. Okay. Do you know that?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Have you ever made Jesus, ever prayed for Jesus to come into your life? At any time you have? Okay. Well, we're going to pray again because God's dealing with your heart. And every response, every time God deals with our heart and we respond, God does something even better, more precious, and more special. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, okay? And you just let whatever the cry of your heart is, as I'm praying for you, let it go up silently to God, okay? This is Ann. Stretch your hand up this way. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for this precious life. God, I thank you that Jesus has already paid the price. And Lord, her heart is open. You touched her heart today. And we're grateful for that. And as she opens her heart in childlike faith, I thank you for your salvation, for forgiveness. Lord, that she's going to know the peace of God. She's going to have that witness. She's going to have that knowing that she is a child of God. She belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Show her your love. Show her your grace. And show her your mercy. Oh God, may this be the very beginning of a most wonderful and precious life in you. God, we thank you for this choice and this decision today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, now Ann's going to share a little bit and give you something, okay, to help you in your walk with God. I'm going to go with her. Follow them. They won't do anything spooky to you, I promise. Can you give her a hand as she goes? We're so glad for honest hearts, open hearts, open to God. And now I'm going to give the rest of you an opportunity to be just as open as Christy was. And that is this. Are there areas in your life where you know I need to confront? I haven't confronted some things. It might be fears. It might be a weight. It might be something. It might even be a sin. The enemy says, you're never going to be free from this. Whatever it is, whatever area, can you be open and honest with yourself before God this morning? And can you be like Joab, say, you know what? Or like David, say, you know what? This Jabez has been here long enough. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of riding around it. I'm tired of ignoring it. I'm tired of coping with it. I'm tired of all these explanations I've had about it. I want it gone from my life. From my life. Bow your heads just a moment. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come up or raise your hand or anything, but I'm going to pray a prayer. And if that's you, I want you to come against that thing. Listen, you have authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus as a child of God. You've been given promises. You've been given promises. God does not want any stronghold in your life, anything that holds you back, anything that keeps you from having His peace, His joy, His strength, His purpose in your life. You know what it is. You know what it is. And as I say a prayer, a general prayer, I want you and the authority God's given you, you come against that Jabez, as it were, in your life once and for all. You speak to that thing. You speak and rise up. And where you can, you act against that thing. You act against it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray over everyone in this room, Lord, as they lift up to you the cry of their heart. I thank you, Lord, that just as David finally said, enough is enough, just as Joab rose up and went against, Father, the walled city of Jabez, Father, we come against the strongholds, the things of the enemy. It may be fears, oh God, it may be weights, it may be even sin, whatever it is, oh God, strife, whatever it is that the enemy has got a stronghold. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we come against that thing. We declare, devil, this is it. We draw the line in the sand. We declare that your day is over in our life. You have no more control. You have no more power. God has told me that wherever I put my foot, that it will be given to me. And I put my foot down right now in this area, in this territory. And I declare in Jesus' name, no more, devil. No more. No more. No more. No more in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's what you're saying, you stand up on your feet. That's the only testimony we're going to have this morning. Hallelujah. You stand up. Man, you're declaring, bless God, this is it. I put my foot of faith down. I put my foot down. I'm declaring in Jesus' name, I am advancing. I am moving forward. This thing will not hold me back any longer. I will have all that God wants me to have. I will do all God wants me to do. I will be fruitful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, can we lift up holy hands to God for a moment? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the work you're doing in my life. Thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. Oh, God, as we stand and put down the foot of faith, our foot of faith, as we stand against the enemy, Lord, I thank you. Your promise is that greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. I thank you that you said, oh, God, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm us. I thank you, oh, God. Today, the enemy is put to flight. Today, the walls of Jabez are broke down in our lives. Today, we are taking the first step to advance in the kingdom. We're going to advance in the knowledge, in faith. We're going to advance in the plan and purpose of God. Thank you, Lord God. A new day, a new vista is opened up to us. New avenues, new territory will be gained. New growth in the Spirit will be realized. And we will glorify you in a greater way than ever before in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you thank Him? Just give Him thanks for a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.